Leaving Nauvoo the Beautiful.
The last Saints were driven from Nauvoo, Illinois, in the fall of 1846. Among them were young Joseph F. Smith and his mother, Mary. Joseph wrote, "My mother and her family were compelled to take all that they could move out of the house, their bedding, their clothing, the little food they possessed, leaving the furniture and everything else standing in the house, and fled across the river, where we camped without tent or shelter until the war was over. The city was conquered." Gospel Doctrine, 5th edition, 1939, page 500. Soon after this final exodus, Colonel Thomas L. Kane visited Nauvoo and described the abandoned city. "The town lay as in a dream under some deadening spell of loneliness, from which I almost feared to wake it. For plainly it had not slept long. There was not grass growing up in the paved ways. Rains had not entirely washed away the prints of dusty footsteps. The spinner's wheel was idle. The carpenter had gone from his workbench and shavings, as if he had just gone off for a holiday. No workpeople anywhere looked to know my errand. If I went into the gardens, clinking the wicket latch loudly after me, and draw a drink with a water-sodden well bucket and its noisy chain, no one called out to me from any open window, or dog sprang forward to bark in alarm. I could have supposed the people hidden in the houses, but the doors were unfastened, and when at last I timidly entered them, I found dead ashes white upon the hearths, and had to tread a tiptoe, as if walking down the aisle of a country church, to avoid rousing irreverent echoes from the naked floors." From the Mormons, a discourse delivered before the Historical Society of Pennsylvania, March 26, 1850, pages 4 through 5. Accompanying this article are pictures of Nauvoo, with the following captions. The first picture is of the Nauvoo house. "The quiet was such that I heard the flies buzz," wrote Thomas L. Kane of Nauvoo, "and its empty building such as the Times and Seasons building, and the Nauvoo house, and its silent fields, after the Saints left." From the Mormons, page 4. On page 42, we have the blueprints of the carved details of the Nauvoo Temple. From these blueprints to the carved details of sunstones, work continued on the Nauvoo Temple. Every man seemed determined to do all he could to roll on the work of the temple as fast as possible. History of the Church, volume 7, page 431. Nancy Naomi Tracy said that watching the masons at work and hearing the click of their hammers was grand to see. Quoted in Carol Cornwall Madsen in her own words, Women and the Story of Nauvoo, 1994, page 252. "Our houses, our farms, this temple and all we leave will be a monument to those who may visit the place of our industry, diligence, and virtue," wrote Elder Parley P. Pratt. "There is no sacrifice required at the hands of the people of God, but shall be rewarded to them an hundredfold in time or eternity." Messages of the First Presidency, Volume 1, page 283. Sarah Rich, wife of Charles C. Rich, wrote, "Mr. Rich and myself were to be here at 7 in the morning and remain until work was done at 10 or 12 o'clock at night, if necessary. Many were the blessings we had received in the house of the Lord." Reminiscence of Sarah Pay Rich, 1885 through 1893 holograph, LDS Church Archives, page 65. Helen Mar Whitney wrote that it was only through the united faith and prayers of the faithful few that the saints were permitted to remain there long enough to finish that temple. Scenes in Nauvoo after the martyrdom of the prophet and patriarch. Women's Exponent, April 15, 1883, page 170. "Thanks be to God for the holy ordinances of His house," wrote Eliza R. Snow, "and how cheerfully grateful we ought to be that we are the happy participants of these great blessings." Quoted in Sisters in Spirit, Mormon Women in Historical and Cultural Perspective, Maureen Ersenbrack Beecher and Lavina Fielding Anderson, 1987, page 90. We have a picture of the Carthage Jail and the Saints leaving Nauvoo in the snow. After the prophet Joseph Smith and his brother Hiram were taken to Carthage jail, then shot and killed on June 27, 1844, Violet Kimball wrote to her husband, Heber C. Kimball, "Every heart is filled with sorrow, and the very streets of Nauvoo seem to mourn." Violet Kimball to Heber C. Kimball, June 30, 1844. From a photocopy of the original letter, Violet Kimball Letters, LDS Church Archives. Young Joseph F. Smith, who fled Nauvoo in September 1846, witnessed the first exodus in February. The Mississippi River froze within a day or two, which enabled them to cross as they did, and thus the first real marvel and manifestation of the mercy and the power of God was manifest. Gospel Doctrine, 5th edition, 1939, page 499. Sarah Rich expressed the feelings of nearly all the recently endowed saints when she wrote, "If it had not been for the faith and knowledge that was bestowed upon us in that temple by the influence and help of the Spirit of the Lord, our journey would have been like one taking a leap in the dark." From Reminiscences. Eliza R. Snow wrote this poem in her diary at the time of the February 1846 exodus. "Let us go, let us go to the wilds for a home, where the wolf and the roe and the buffalo roam, where beneath our own vines we may enjoy the rich fruits of our labors with none to annoy." Diary of Eliza R. Snow, February 1846, from the LDS Church Archives. End of the article, Leaving Nauvoo the Beautiful.